Andrei Karpathy is one of the founders of OpenAI, and he sort of helped invent the modern AI stack. He's the guy that coined the term vibe coding. And there's a video on YouTube. He's at a conference, and he's got that Andrei smile on his face. And he says that he's been using these sort of AI coding tools and that he has just stopped checking the output. And he said that he used to have to correct it all the time and now he doesn't. And he's sort of telling this like it's, good news that this is a progression, like it's a productivity tip where the tip is just to give up on reviewing the code. That was your whole job, bro. Now you just give up and you give a TED talk about it apparently. But then here's where it gets interesting. Or weird or contradictory. Because right after he tells this story, he tells another story. And he says with his signature openness and curiosity, he's like, isn't it amazing that these models can refactor like 100,000 line code base and like do these incredible software engineering tasks, but when you ask it to count how many R's are in the word strawberry or whether you should drive or walk to a car wash, the model chokes. And he's like asking us, dude, he's like, how is it possible? Dude, you tell us, bro. And he gives an example of an app he was working on called MenuGen. And the example's a little bit technically convoluted. Agent just made an assumption that just didn't make any sense with like reusing emails. And he's like, that's the kind of thing that, if I didn't catch it, it would have been really catastrophic. But so, he was telling this story, like a little personal anecdote that was, meant to be charming. It's like, isn't that funny how these agents just do these silly little things? And it's like, dude, that is not funny at all, okay? Because this is the same technology that's supposed to be replacing doctors and shit. And like doing your taxes, dude, there's nothing funny about these little mistakes here. And in a moment of very pure honesty, which is why I love Andre. He says, when you actually look at the code, sometimes I get a little bit of a heart attack because it's not super amazing code necessarily all the time. It's very bloaty. There's a lot of copy paste. There are awkward abstractions that are brittle. It works, but it's just really gross. And what this tells you right now is that this is the frontier. This is the things that you're not going to hear engineers with a job admit to because they're riding on the fact that the CEO don't know this. That the solution these engineers who you hear constantly hyping AI, they're hoping to hide this fact that the code is giving someone like Andre a heart attack. He's having a medical event, dude, every time he looks at the code. Every software startup will now need to have like a ping pong table, espresso machine, and a guy with a defibrillator in the corner, just waiting, dude, waiting for someone to open a pull request. Pair programming is gonna be reinvented. It's gonna be you and a cardiologist just pair programming. And his job is to make sure you don't just pass out, dude, from the slop. The stand up is gonna be totally different now. It's gonna be like, what did you do yesterday? What are you doing today? Any blockers? Any chest pain? And the room is like laughing. Dude, he's like, haha, that's so funny, dude. Oh, you get a heart attack every time you look at the code. It's like, dude, that's what we've all been saying, dude. The code is horrific. And Andre describes his workflow as basically writing an extremely detailed document explaining everything that you want the code to do, every single edge case. You write it in Markdown in English, and you try to be as precise as possible to get the best results. And then the AI writes the code based on the document. And I heard this and I'm like, dude, this sounds so familiar, right? It's like, you write something very detailed with very complex logic that's very specific that you want to make sure is perfectly situated so there's no issues. And because Andre is a good engineer, when he looks at the AI code, he tells it, hey, can you simplify this? And the model's like, I can't, bro. I can't simplify it any more than this. And Andre clearly sees a way to simplify it, and the AI just can't figure it out. And I swear to God, if any of you write in the comments that it's a skill issue, dude. And he gives an explanation for this. He keeps coming back to RL, reinforcement learning. Essentially, the cherry on top of the base training data, really curated training set that the models essentially teach it very specific skills. And he says essentially that if the task you're trying to do is not well represented either in the base data or in the RL data, there's no force on this planet that can make that LLM solve this problem for you. And so he's very honest about the fact that this is just a very sophisticated autocomplete. It's just really bizarre because on the one hand, he says he stopped checking the work because the models have made less and less mistakes. On the other hand, he says he gets a heart attack when he looks at the code. He says that the model has made dumb mistakes in his code base. And you could tell that when he started the interview, he really wanted to make it, you know, clear that he's about to say some negative things later on, but he wants to make it clear that he's not an AI skeptic, that he's an AI accelerationist, that he's all about agentic and vibe coding. I do want to leave you with something that he said that was very useful for you if you're looking to get employed as a software developer. He says that a lot of people are hiring for this right now because they want to hire strong agentic engineers. But he says that what I'm seeing is that most people have still not refactored their hiring process for agentic engineering capability. They're still sort of interviewing on leak code and weird technical problems, like giving out puzzles to solve. Here's what he proposes, which I think is really good. He says, I would say hiring has to look like, give me a really big project and see someone implement that big project. Let's write, say, a Twitter clone for agents and then make it really good, make it really secure. Before, if you wanted to get a job and you wanted to interview well, you would practice leak code and abstract puzzles and things like that. I think the thing you practice now is writing specs. If during an interview someone said to you, build a clone of Twitter X, the question is, what would the spec you write be? Now, if you've never practiced that at home, you've never written a spec about building a Twitter clone, you might not know what problems there are to solve. And so you'll write something that's really simple, but as the agent starts to build it, it'll start choking on a bunch of things that you didn't properly specify. Things like tokens, session length, cookie expiration, change password, rate limiting. And even if you practice things at home, like building a recommendation engine, imagine how impressive that would be to the person you're interviewing with. I've said often on this channel that there isn't much skill in agentic engineering because Claude is doing most of the things. What there is good skill in is not giving something to Claude until it's ready, because otherwise you waste a lot of time going back and forth. So the more you can one-shot things, there's a skill in that. And I mentioned a recommendation engine. I mean, if that's not something you've practiced before, you would never in an interview just suddenly add to your prompt, also build a recommender system, algorithm. If you practice that a couple times, it's very easy to then do in an interview and surprise people who would never expect that from you. Because in truth, the thing you're going to be tested on in an interview is your ability to one-shot. You're not going to have time to sit there and work with an agent for 4 hours or something, unless it's a take-home. If you're an employer who has not updated their hiring process, this might be one way to approach it. Overall, I get the sense from Andre's interview here that he doesn't really have the answers to what is happening in the industry. What are things you'd learn? The interviewer tries to ask him, what are things that you think will be valuable in the future if AI gets good? What are things that are still worth learning? And honestly, I don't think Andre could really answer the question. You know, he gave a response, but it was sort of empty. And it's not because Andre can't answer. It's because these are hard questions that nobody has figured out, even Andre. And so if you're feeling a little lost, I hope you feel some sense of solace in the fact that even Andre feels a little lost. So I hope that helps. And thank you for watching.